regular agenda. Item 437, please.
Item 437, accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $49,921 from the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Community Oriented Policing Services 2013 Community Policing Development Micro Grants Program to fund a portion of the Race and Social Justice Initiative's work.
Captain Wagenacken, Acting Captain Wagenacken, and Lieutenant Kerr are here to catch us up on where we stand with this grant. So good morning and thanks for waiting.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Where we're at with this grant is that we've been approached by the COPS office to accept a grant in the amount of $49,000 to help us in developing a strategic plan and also an evaluation process in regards to race equity and diversity within the organization of the Portland Police Bureau. This grant was first awarded to us or presented to us in 2013, and after some reprogramming that will allow us to pay for this strategic planning and evaluation process, we are approaching kind of a deadline about when we can accept this grant money, hence the emergency provision in this request. This will be working in partnership with Portland State University to construct the strategic plan and also the CPRC in doing the evaluation process.
Great. Anything else you want to add on this?
No, I have no prepared statements. I'm here merely as with a historical piece on the Community Police Relations Committee subcommittee to answer any questions that any of you may have in regards to this grant.
Okay. And the CPRC subcommittee was supportive of this approach, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay. We'll stand by for other questions. I think we have some public testimony, and then we'll see if there are council questions then. So thank you. So do we have any people signed up to speak on this item, Carla?
We do. We have five people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Joe Walsh, Joanne Hardesty, and Crystal Alinsky.
All right, come on up.
I think Crystal may have left. Let's go ahead and go with Barry Sutton. We'll go with Dan Handelman.
Dan, come on up. Okay, I think Joe, you're first.
Dan?
Whoever would like to go first, proceed, please.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We have some questions about this. It seems to be that there's a relationship between what the federal judge is about to do and any monies that we spend in the police department for almost any problem or program within their budget. So if they're asking for new money, we're a little confused. We don't have a decision from the federal judge yet. And apparently the city is saying to the judge, do it our way or we go to trial. And you may go to trial. So we're saying to you, before you spend any of this money anywhere on a study, on anything, wait for the judge's decision. Because he could make everything that you're doing moot and you waste all that money. His decision is coming down very soon. It's not a long-term decision. I think it's within weeks. At least that's our understanding. So we're asking you to put everything in abeyance until he makes a decision. Thank you.
Hi, Joanne. Welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, my name is Joanne Hardesty, and I am here to speak in opposition to this agenda item. I am concerned that an insular process, and so let me explain the insular process. In order to get on a CPRC, the process was you had to go through a background check. You had to get police approval, and so you had to be someone that didn't have any real understanding of how Portland Police operate. And so what's been happening since the Department of Justice has been the town is that Reese continues to hold up the CPRC as community engagement. So you have a select group of people who serve on a committee, and one of them is paid. So you have a paid consultant chairing the Community Police Relations Committee, and then we're pretending somehow that this is a publicly driven process. What we need is the public to let the chief know what reforms need to take place around how to engage with communities of color. When you have the chief deciding who gets to be on the committee, and then the chief contracting with people who are pretending to be community volunteers, and then you have a proposal in front of you that reinforces that process by also having the same chair of the CPRC being a recipient of funds from this grant. From where I sit in the public, it smells really bad when we pretend that there's a community advisory committee when, in fact, the public doesn't come anymore. There are two people that show up. It's Dan Handelman and sometimes the League of Women Voters. The public doesn't come because it's a total waste of time. And so you are being asked today to support a pretend grant proposal that is supposedly community-driven, and the public, the community, the people with the most insight on what's wrong with Portland Police have had no participation at all. It was amazing to me to read your agenda to find out that a social justice initiative is being developed by Portland Police. You would think if that was going to happen, that they would be talking to community members with the most insight of what's wrong at Portland Police Bureau. But no, we're going to go to the insulated groups that the former mayor said he was going to change that process, and he left office before that process was changed. So now we have every advisory committee within the Portland Police Bureau is staffed by people that are approved, pre-approved by the police chief. I find that egregious. That's not public participation. That's not public engagement. And I'm just kind of appalled that we continue to be here. I've sat here 2 hours so that I could tell you that this is not community engagement, this is not community involvement, and this is not going to do anything to fix what's wrong. If you're paying a consultant to be on the community committee, then his allegiance is to the person who's given him a check. His allegiance is not to the public. And so I'm just really surprised that we continue to have Chief Reese lead the effort to fix what's wrong in the police bureau. If he was able to fix it, we wouldn't have brought the Department of Justice to town. And because the Department of Justice has not had a chance to weigh in, because until the judge accepts the settlement agreement, the police department is actually reviewing themselves and finding themselves not doing anything wrong and everything good. And I think that should be something that should concern you all. I'm done.
Okay, Dan.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I do go to all the Community Police Relations Committee meetings. I missed one of them in the last few years, I think. And I have never heard the efforts around institutional racism training for the police referred to as the Social Justice Initiative until I read this contract. So I don't know where that name came from, but it's very alien to me. Also, the two police officers who sat up here, I have never seen either of them at a CPRC meeting. I don't know how they were involved in the decision-making that has to do with this process. What is apparent from reading this contract is that it was a subcommittee of the CPRC that approved this with the work of the police. Behind closed doors, not at these public meetings, and what we have the Human Rights Commission, and then its subcommittee, the CPRC, and then they have a subcommittee, and they make these decisions without even bringing it back to the smaller group, not much less the full Human Rights Commission, for approval. So I have to echo Joanne's sentiment that these are more decisions. We wrote a letter to you, Mr. Mayor, a couple of weeks ago about decisions being made behind closed doors. This is another example of that. Of course, we support the idea of training the police about what is going on with institutional racism, although I don't understand the language in this that says the connection between institutionalism and race, which is not the same thing as institutionalized racism. But But and Chief Reese, as is typical, has written onto the agenda item that he doesn't expect any public input on this because it's a non-controversial item. And yet there has been no public input up to this point, really. So this is another pattern that's got to stop. For the record, I understand that the new budget is going to include money for a non-sworn position in the Bureau to look at equity issues, which we are supportive of them having a position like that, but we had said they should move funds around from what they already have instead of taking the new money that could go to other programs such as housing homeless people or other things, maybe getting rid of the horse patrol and using that to fund the equity position. Instead, I guess council is looking at maybe funding a new position. And then we have this consultant from PSU who's going to be paid $49,000 to examine the institutional racism training, but I don't see where the money is yet for finishing that, for doing the training to the 800 or so patrol officers who haven't had that training yet.
Okay. Thank you. Then I have a question. Do you make a distinction between accepting the grant and appropriating the grant? I don't know what the timeline is on accepting.
Well, I have no idea. You know, again, I didn't hear anything about the grant being applied for or appropriated, or whether this is exactly how the best way to do the examination of how this trainee is doing. Apparently, this happened last year. That's what I hear. But you're asking me, Commissioner Fisher.
I don't know whether there's a timeline on the grant. I'm trying to understand if there's a difference in your mind between accepting the funds and then appropriating the funds, whether some of your concerns can be addressed in the event we'd otherwise lose the grant if we didn't accept. Accepting a grant is a formality. Appropriating it seems to me to go to the questions you're raising.
Well, I guess I didn't understand exactly what's going on. My understanding is that this agenda item includes not only accepting the money from the COPS program, but also specifically, right, hiring this person from PSU to do the analysis. So if you're saying that you can somehow separate those two things, say we're going to take this money and we'll decide what's the best way to spend it later, then certainly that would be a step in the right direction towards opening up the dialogue about how to spend that money. But I'm not clear that you can do that at this point.
Well, I don't know either, and I actually haven't been briefed on this. So I'm trying to. We'll have some questions for the panel when they come back. I'm just trying to understand your concerns. Joe Walsh said something that got my attention, which is the judge is about to rule. My understanding is the judge is about to issue a letter with his preferred approach, but he has specifically said he's not going to dictate that approach. Either the parties as a group get to consensus, or he's going to go to trial. Is that right, Dan?
Well, I can only say what I know from the newspaper, Commissioner Fish. But my understanding is that there's another conference call between the parties, among the parties and the judge on the 30th of this month, and the judge had asked that the parties come up with a way to do annual hearings. And you know, I know that that's something that
the DOJ settlement is about mental health issues. It's not about race.
But since it was written, I'm just pointing out, my understanding is the judge has said he's not going to impose. He will put his position in writing, and it either moves the parties to an agreement acceptable to him, or he can order the parties to go to trial. But he is not issuing a ruling dictating an outcome, because he said he would not do that.
Right. But the judge can only do one of two things.
My question
you used my name, so let me answer this. The judge can do one of two things, and I think Dan and Joanne will back me up on this. He can accept or reject the settlement. That's it. Now, he can suggest, and he can tell the city, okay, if you do this, then I'm saying to you, go to trial. And that's what his last communication was, that what the city proposed was unacceptable to him, and he's ready to go to trial. So it's this narrow. Accept, reject. And I have to watch my language here. If you tick him off, he will say, go to trial. Amanda,
my time on this.
That's just mental health.
Dan, the DOJ process is about mental health, not race. You're raising a separate consideration.
I didn't bring up the DOJ agreement,
but I was asked.
But nonetheless, the CPRC and issues of race are in the DOJ agreement. There is an aspect where the CPRC is supposed to be making sure that demographic data is collected. On an ongoing basis, and there was actually a deadline of December 31 last year to come up with a process to do that hasn't been met. So you cannot necessarily separate this out completely from the DOJ agreement, but I just want to point out my testimony had nothing to do with the DOJ agreement. I'm just talking about the process of this grant, the process of the CBRC, and the process of, you know, how we're going to do the institutionalized racism training for the police.
Did you, and you've actually read the grant application?
In detail.
Okay. So, I mean, in part I'm sympathetic to the points you're raising about somebody from PSU and, you know, being paid through the grant, but then also isn't that part of how academia sort of operates?
Actually,
write grants.
My concern, excuse me, Commissioner, my concern was not that the professor at PSU was being paid. My concern is that the chair of the Community Police Relations Committee will be paid and is also already under contract with Portland Police Bureau. So this is a
Is he not affiliated with PSU also?
He is not affiliated. He has his own consulting company that the chief hires him to do training for Portland Police, and he's now going to hire him again under this contract. And so what I'm saying to you, Commissioner, is that he tells the public that volunteers are working to develop this plan, and yet you have a proposal in front of you that shows that the chair of the Community Police Relations Committee is a contractor with Portland Police who has received money to do training with Portland Police and expects to receive money out of this contract to help them develop a plan. And what I'm telling you is that's not community involvement. That's not being open to the public and the people who know what's going on with Portland Police Bureau. It's a very insulated process that doesn't allow for people who have a difference of opinion with the current police chief.
So getting back to what Commissioner Fish asked, I think, of Dan, if we somehow sever the accepting of the grant from the actual intended application of the grant money, are you okay with that?
I am not. I would prefer that there was actually a grant that was written with the community that created a partnership, a real partnership, not this pretend partnership, between the Portland Police Bureau and the people in the community that have been most harmed by police violence.
That's what I'm saying. If you sever the acceptance of the grant, the $49,000 or $59,000, and say we're going to take this COPS grant and we're going to figure out how to use it.
Well, a commissioner
using it for what's attached to the.
Have you seen a plan?
I don't think we get to do that.
Okay. Have you seen a plan?
Why don't we get the staff? I see Deanna Weston Mitchell and Gail Shively are here now. Perhaps we could get them and Captain Wagonek back up here to throw some more light on how we ended up here, because this was a grant that we applied for and that we couldn't accept and that we had to reprogram. So why don't we, if we're done with questions for these folks, why don't we get
and hopefully you will ask them if there's a written plan that's a social justice initiative plan, because if there is, I'd really like to see it. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, could you all come up and give us a little more detail on how we are at this place? So maybe you go back in history a little bit, the first version of this grant.
Okay.
We weren't able to accept it, or we weren't. Go back in history, and why are we here?
Okay. Hi, I'm Deanna Weston Mitchell, staff in the mayor's office. Ouch. In fall, we received the grant originally in the fall when we applied for it for the police bureau applied to receive funding to pay for training. The director of the COPS office changed, and the requirements that were attached to the original grant became more involved, and we would have had to spend money to implement all of the requirements in that grant as it came back last fall. So the police bureau said, well, we're not going to be able to accept this grant. DOJ COPS office actually contacted us and was like, whoa, what can we do to get you to accept this grant, because we really like what you're doing. The new director had noticed specifically what the police bureau and the Community Police Relations Committee was involved in, because they didn't know of any other agencies in the nation that were doing this work voluntarily, that were doing it in collaboration with community members, and they really liked the process that the police bureau and the CPRC was using, and they wanted us to accept this grant. So we were able to rewrite the grant instead of focusing on the individual training, which it had been originally meant to pay for, to then focus on the development of the larger overall strategic equity plan, which is, you know, in conjunction with what City Council wants, the Office of Equity wants, the Citywide Equity Committee. Each bureau is supposed to have a a plan to address equity within their organization. So timing-wise, it went through, reprogramming, and showed up again now when it was supposed to be accepted last fall. So some of the timing was a little off. The program lost a staff person, Emma Cavelli, when she was moved to the training division after budget cuts. She was paid for by a grant that expired last fall. She moved to the training division with new requirements, new duties under the DOJ work. So there hasn't been someone staffing this particular work. Damon Isaiah Turner, through the process that started back in 2011, has put in hundreds of hours of volunteer time. He has not been paid. He is, by work, a consultant on these issues, and the goal was to be able to pay him for some of his effort in the larger plan, the strategic equity plan. He has, again, donated already hundreds of hours. We were short on staff. The process has come very much slowed in moving forward without a staff person. Where we are today, there is no plan. This funding is to help to create that equity plan and, at the same time, a process to evaluate the outcomes. We don't want to be doing work without being able to evaluate if it's successful or not. What was the other issue?
So how does this all intersect with creation of a new position in the Bureau to be an equity diversity coordinator? I mean, it sounds like we've got...
That's where the timing is off.
I mean, it sounds like we're going down different paths, and they may or may not intersect.
No, they would definitely intersect. This is where the timing is off. This grant was applied for last spring before that position was thought of, or last summer, I'm sorry. The delay with the original programmed grant and need to change it to this different grant or different purpose does intersect with that position. The idea is that Damon Isaiah Turner has been an active participant in the whole process since 2011 when the subcommittee was created. He would continue to do work with the overall design of the plan, which again is what he does as a consultant, along with the program manager. It wasn't, again, because of the delay, it wouldn't necessarily have to be Damon doing this work. The grant has been delayed a couple times.
This doesn't fund a full-time position.
Oh, no.
Right.
And it's just as consultant fees. Honestly, it was kind of to honor his
$14,000
dedication.
Yeah.
It's to honor all the work that he's done and will continue to be doing with the project. The other concern was the name, which was totally a working title that was put in to separate the description of the individual trainings, which the grant was originally put in for, and to identify the development of the overall strategic plan. There is no overall strategic plan right now. That's what this money is to help fund. There has been community input all along the way during the individual training production of it. There was community involvement in all steps of that process, including people attending the pilot trainings before they went out to give input. It's been talked about in public. It's been talked about in meetings. We've had lots of input. They've come before council and talked to you all about the equity project at the Police Bureau before. So this is not something that is new or unknown. That name it totally is an idea. It's not something that's set in stone. It is a title that's borrowed from Seattle just to differentiate. Now we're at the point, which was the original goal, to create a bureau-wide strategy to address equity, starting focusing on race, and then internally on race and gender issues, because those are internally race and gender issues are really big, externally focusing on race.
Can I ask you, if the council decides to take the emergency off so that we have at least another week pursue any questions we have about this, how does that impact the application before us?
Well, with the reason for the emergency part in the request is that we are running up against a timeline with the COPS office since this is a 2013 grant. I do not have a specific timeline as to whether it's next week or 2 weeks from now. I can get that for you, but we are running up against a time limit on it.
You know, Mayor, there's...
I think it's a fiscal year 13, 14, so we've got maybe a few more weeks. Maybe, okay.
I just want to preview. I this is a very valuable conversation for me, and there's some questions I want to follow up on. But I will probably ask that we take the emergency off so that it can, we could always slap it back on next week if that's the council will, but to give us a chance, I don't know that I know enough to even ask the questions that I want to ask at this point. And if there is not a timing issue, then I will likely not vote for this simply because it's an emergency, or I'll move to remove the emergency.
Well, let me suggest that we continue it a week. Can we do that?
That's the same effect, yeah.
I think so.
And that way we can get questions answered. It still has the emergency clause on it next week. We can take it off. We can vote it down. But if this has to get done by the end of the fiscal year, then I don't want to get right up against that 30-day clock. So how does that suit the rest of the council? So
I just have one further question, and that is to get an answer to the whether we can accept the grant but use it for other purposes.
I'm fairly sure that in the writing of it, it was very specific. In our phone conversation with DOJ, COPS program, it was specifically for, because they wanted to have a make sure that the process was documented, doing an equity plan that was in cooperation with government and community, because they wanted to be able to use it as a national framework with their products that they use.
Maybe before next week you could have a conversation about that, because it does seem to be the cart before the horse to do this and have this set in motion while we don't yet have an equity manager in the Bureau giving an overall framework. So I would be concerned if I was going to be applying for that job, which of course I'm not, that the train's already left the station going down a particular route, but we're hoping that this person will be the expert in figuring out what needs to happen and how it needs to happen. So if you could have a conversation with the DOJ as to how much flexibility there might be.
What the parameters are. Okay.
Mayor, just as an additional point, it would be helpful to me, since there's a couple of procedural and substantive questions which were put on the record through the testimony, if those could just also be addressed in the follow-up.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. We'll get a memo out to council and bring it back next week.
All right.
Okay. So it's continued for the check. Anything else?
I wanted to address kind of like the relationship between the DOJ settlement agreement and this project. This project predates the DOJ settlement agreement, so it doesn't even have anything to do with it. Deanna hit it the nail on the head. They're looking at the city of Portland as a not a test case, but maybe the best practices on how we can address institutionalized racism or equality within an organization. This requires no matching funds. And the one other thing that I wanted to look at here is that we already ran this past the COPS Office Civil Rights Division, and they have we informed them of the proposed DOJ settlement agreement, and they have no issues with us receiving this grant. Although we're waiting for that proposed settlement agreement to be ratified or not.
But it does, I appreciate that information. It does say in the ordinance that the grant period is from September 1st, 2013 through August 31st, 2015. So it sounds, maybe we need to make sure we get it appropriated before the end of this fiscal year, but the grant period runs more than another fiscal year.
Right.
Yes.
But it might be when it's encumbered at the federal level
right.
in their fiscal year.
But there may be some back and forth that could happen even over the next month. To make sure that we
It's also to do some post research on the results of the training as well. So it's going to go beyond the training research, how effective it has been with our agency.
Okay, so let's get more answers to those detailed questions between now and next week. Maybe get this team to come back and report back.
All right, okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Continued 1 week.